I love them. I don't care what anybody thinks. I love the Beatles for them, and I'll always love them. Even when I'm 105 and an old grandmother, I'll love them.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the She Loves You podcast, the podcast where we talk about the incredible women in the Beatles' lives. Everyone from the wives, the girlfriends, the groupies, the rumored affairs, the friendships, and so much more. I'm your host, Natalia, and hi, guys. I hope everybody's been doing great. As great as we can be. I mean, the state of the world is kind of insane right now. But, you know, for all of us that are sort of still keep on going and, you know, we've got this, guys. We've got this. So, guys, I'm really, really excited to bring you today's episode because this is our season one finale. And I cannot believe that we have made it here. It seems insane to me. I remember starting this podcast back in December. Yeah, back in the last December. And it's been this sort of big event that has really, like, changed my life in a lot of ways. And it's pretty crazy so far that this is now our final episode of the first season of the She Loves You podcast. So for this first season, we talked about the Beatle wives. And it's been pretty amazing to discover these ladies. But, you know, this is our last episode, and I thought I would, you know, leave us with a really, really incredible lady. Someone that is perhaps, I guess, in a lot of ways, she's the last Beatle wife to enter the fold. She's a pretty incredible lady that's led an amazing life and is currently with, you know, Sir Paul McCartney and is his dedicated, loving third wife. And she really is just incredible. And it's been really amazing to get to learn about her and, you know, just learn about her life in general. So I present to you Miss Nancy Chevelle. So we know that Paul McCartney is the most married Beatle of the bunch. He, you know, has now had three wives, which is really, really interesting. But yes, his third wife is Miss Nancy Chevelle. She is really incredible and has led a pretty, pretty fascinating life. So she was born in New York City on November 20th, 1959. She comes from a industrial family. Her father, Mike, was a trucking industry executive. And he actually purchased the New England Motor Freight in 1977, essentially turning it into his own company, which is, you know, really, really amazing that he sort of built this empire of trucks and really created a business for himself and for his family. It eventually became the Chevelle Group. And right now, he is still technically the chairman and CEO. The family began to get money from this a lot of the time. They became an affluent family in society. Given I don't think they were as rich as, you know, the Vanderbilts or anything, but, you know, they had money, which in a lot of ways it would be so nice for us regular folk, wouldn't it? But yes, they had a lot of money and became very affluent. But, you know, the thing about Nancy is, you know, she led a really loving childhood. And one of the things about, you know, having a father that is in such a high position, you know, is the fact that you look up to your parents, you know, whether we like to admit it or not. You know, I think I've said this before, we look up to our parents and we kind of see what they're doing and we think, oh, well, you know, I think they're so interesting in whatever it is that they're doing. So Nancy definitely looked up to her father in so many ways, in business and just the way he conducted himself. She began really developing her own interest in trucks, especially as a little girl. She would love to play, you know, with her dolls. But the great thing is that she would love to play with trucks as well, like toy trucks. She would line them up with her Barbies, and it would be this sort of big game. And it's pretty amazing to see that her love of the trucking industry really began at such a young age. She immediately loved it, and it was pretty obvious. She would also just sort of watch her father conduct business in his office and, you know, be the head of this corporation. And it really inspired her from that early age on. She kind of always knew that she wanted to do something in the realm of the family business and sort of working in that environment. You know, it was very familiar to her, and she grew up in it. So it would make sense that later on she, you know, grew to love it and grew to want to be in it, definitely. So, but, you know, as I said, as she got older, she decided that this was the time and that she was going to join the family business. She wanted desperately to be a part of it, and joining it seemed like a no-brainer. So she went on to study business and transportation at Arizona State University. She was actually one of the few females to study that major at Arizona State, which is a really, really interesting achievement, you know, because at the time, a lot of women were still having issues with doing certain majors, which is pretty crazy, right? But, you know, throughout her experiences at university, she learned a lot about business and finances and, you know, how to really manage a business. But she also met her future husband. His name was Bruce Blakeman, and she was a student, and they met and fell in love and married. She eventually, once she, you know, finished school and graduated, she took over the family business in 1983. And, you know, she ran it at the time when the business was still a male-dominated, you know, area to be in. You know, the family business, even though it was her family, most of it was comprised of males. So she was sort of really breaking the glass ceiling in that instance, and she decided to really take over that role of, you know, I'm in charge here, and just because I'm a woman doesn't mean that, you know, I don't have a voice, you know, I'm going to use it. So really wonderful that she was able to navigate all of that. So the company itself went through a lot of financial troubles, in and out, a lot of things that were very troubling for her. But, you know, it never really stopped her from making sure that the company was, in a sense, flawless and was able to survive any sort of, you know, setback that was going to come their way, whether it was financial troubles, legal troubles. Nancy was always on top of it, and she knew what to do. She was prepared, and she always had that on her shoulders. But she did it in such a way that was very flawless and very, very, very much a head businesswoman, you know, running this company, which is, I think, really, really admirable in a lot of ways. By 2001, Nancy would become appointed a board member of the Metropolitan Transportation Authority, which is a really, really, really big deal. It just kind of proves how hard she worked for this, and the amount of time that she really put into her work and what that all means. And it just seems really amazing that, you know, she was able to get to this position of, you know, head of the company, head of the business, but, you know, board member of the Metropolitan Transportation Authority, which is, you know, a very miraculous thing in itself, really. And I think that's what I love about Nancy, is that she's really private in a lot of things, because, you know, she's a very private person. But underneath all that, we get, you know, we're learning that she is this, you know, amazing, headstrong businesswoman that has really, you know, pulled her family's company together and up, and took it out of legal troubles and any sort of trouble they may have had. So it just really goes to show how amazing Nancy is, you know, through it all. So with her husband, Bruce, they had one son, and his name is Arlen. And the marriage was, you know, a very long one in all intents and purposes. But, you know, by the end of the marriage, it sort of began to die down around the time of the early 2000s. And it wasn't what it used to be. Again, they met young, you know, she was in college. So, you know, I think it's times change and people change oftentimes, and you know, it happens in divorces, but yes, it, you know, it just sort of happened, and she and Bruce would eventually get divorced in 2008, but they were, you know, co-parents to their son, and, you know, led by that example, for sure, definitely. So, of course, ending a long relationship is always very difficult, but, you know, love was always sort of going to be on the horizon for her, and I don't necessarily think she expected to fall in love, you know, the way she did, but also with particularly the person she fell in love with. And, you know, it must be crazy to have to fall in love with one of these men, because they are public interests. So it's, you know, like, I can't even imagine what it must have been like just to have to, like, wow, you know, I'm in love with Paul McCartney. That just must be so interesting. But the end of her marriage was quickly coming about. And so she and Paul met in the Hamptons, which, for my American audience and for those that don't really know much about the Hamptons is this very sort of, what's the word? It's very posh, and it's very rich in a lot of the sense of the word, and it's a beach getaway sort of place in New York City, but it's about, I believe, 2 hours away from the city, and it's the beach getaway. It's where most people in New York go to get away to the beach, since the, you know, there's not really beaches in the city, obviously, so this is sort of the getaway zone, and it's very beautiful, and I hope to one day go. Even though I did live in New York City, I did not get to ever go to the Hamptons, because, you know, I'm not rich, but, you know, I hope to one day go. But yes, Paul had a house there, and Nancy would vacation from time to time there, and they met through a mutual friend. And that mutual friend is important, but I will get to the whoever the mutual friend is in the fun facts section towards the end of the episode. So keep in mind, they were introduced by a mutual friend, but I will let you know who that mutual friend is later. So as I mentioned, they both owned properties in the Hamptons, and, you know, Paul himself had just really gotten out of his marriage to Heather Mills, his really highly controversial marriage, and, you know, he was feeling low, but also I think Paul was ready to find someone that was, you know, their own person, but definitely more on the private side, and I think he found something in Nancy that I think just made sense and it felt right. But again, they didn't expect to find each other at all. It just sort of happened, you know? And I don't think any of them expected after two divorces, you know, to ever find someone. But throughout it all, they found each other. They began to quickly date once they sort of figured out they had the same interests and they, you know, were both headstrong people. They started to quickly date, and they kept a very low profile. And I think that's sort of the thing about Nancy and Paul. Even now, you know, they've been married for a couple years, they're still very low key, and they're still so not about putting their relationship out there. And I think Paul sort of learned from that experience with Heather Mills. He learned, or rather knew, that he wanted to make this relationship different. He wanted not to put himself out there or the relationship as much as he did with, you know, Heather Mills. Why should they? You know what I mean? There wasn't a need for it, really. And so they fell madly in love throughout all of this. And Paul quickly realized that he wanted to marry her, and he wanted this to be his wife and spend the rest of his life with her. And they married in Marylebone Registry Office in 2011, which is also the same place that he and Linda got married, which is really, really interesting. Ringo was at the wedding in attendance. And, you know, as of now, they have celebrated their 10th wedding anniversary and are very, very much in love. And it's pretty amazing to see Paul so incredibly happy with someone as brilliant as Nancy. And, you know, as I mentioned, they have been able to keep everything so low-key. And it's just wonderful to see that. As I mentioned, you know, his previous marriage was very high profile. So I think Paul was ready for that sort of calmness that he once had, I believe. You know, even, you know, it takes him back to Linda. You know, they didn't need to publicize their relationship to make it true. And I think the same goes with Nancy. You know, they just love being with each other. And Paul is a wonderful stepdad to Nancy's son. And they have just a wonderful sort of a big family. And Nancy is incredible with Paul's children. They adore her. And it's sort of just the right fit. It just makes sense. And I'm so happy that Paul really has been able to find this woman that, you know, I don't think he ever expected, but it just felt right, you know? And I think when you know, you really know. And yeah, they've been together ever since and are going strong. And I think the wonderful thing is that Nancy continues to inspire Paul in his songwriting. I know that on a couple of his new albums, he's written songs about her. So, you know, he definitely inspires, or she definitely inspires him in many ways. And I think that's sort of the great thing about Paul is that whoever he's with, whether it's Jane Asher or Linda, even Heather, you know, or Nancy, they all inspired his songwriting in one way or another. And it really shows, I think, in the way that he's able to write a love song, because, I mean, who are we kidding? Who besides Paul McCartney, you know, writes incredible love song? You know, he's the master at writing the love song. And it's evident in, you know, these incredible women that he's been with, why he would write these incredible songs, because they're so incredible themselves, right? So it's pretty, pretty amazing. And, you know, they have led a private life and are very incredibly happy. And I wish them nothing but the best. I hope that they last forever and, you know, are forever, always, and in love. So now we get to the end, well, sort of end of the episode, but the fun facts section, which is sort of a section where I look at fun facts about this Beatle girl and just some things that are pretty interesting that I found out through my research. So for Nancy, some of the fun things that I was able to find out is, as I mentioned, she was the only woman in her graduating class in college, which I think is an amazing triumph. And it just goes to show what an amazing woman she is. And, you know, she broke that glass ceiling. And you know what? Good for you, because I think it's amazing anytime any woman is the first to do anything, you know? So it's pretty, pretty amazing. Then we have, so as I mentioned, Paul and Nancy were introduced mutually by a friend, but it wasn't just a friend, it was a family member as well. So this friend that I've kept a little bit of a mystery until the end of the episode is none other than Barbara Walters. And I'm assuming everybody knows who Barbara Walters is. But if you do not, Barbara Walters is a journalist, one of the most respected journalists in the United States. She does a lot of TV journalism, and she's been in the business for years now. But yes, her and Nancy are second cousins, which I think is so amazing, and what a small world, right? But yes, she essentially match-made her and Paul, because she knew Paul pretty well from, you know, interviews that she did of him in the past. And, you know, they are good friends. But, you know, of course she knew Nancy, and she thought, okay, here's a good pairing. I can see it. I can see it. So she sort of just paired them up and thought that they would be great. And, you know, thank goodness for Miss Barbara, because she just knew, and it's been successful ever since. So, as I mentioned, Nancy and Paul also married at Marylebone Registry Office, but the day is also very particular and special because they married on October the 9th, which, as any Beatles fan really knows, October the 9th is John's birthday. So it's sort of a nice little tribute that Paul did for his friend, and it just goes to show how much Paul still, I think, thinks about John every day. So it's sort of like a little nice tribute for, you know, his best friend in the world. And the wonderful thing is if you've seen pictures of their wedding, it's a very sweet ceremony. And Nancy just looks stunning. I mean, she's like a vision in white. And that white dress is so perfect because it's so simple, but yet so elegant and very classy. And it's amazing, amazing. But that dress is, you know, designed by none other than Miss Stella McCartney, Paul McCartney's daughter. And I think it just goes to show how much Stella loves Nancy, and, you know, the fact that she took the time to design her dress and make sure she looked incredible is, it's wonderful. And it's just beautiful. So yeah, if you haven't seen pictures of the wedding. You can just go online and look it up. Very beautiful. So beautiful. Such a beautiful dress. And honestly, I don't ever want to get married, but if I ever do decide to take that leap, I think I would want a dress similar to that one because it's just so simple and pretty. And I don't know, I'm not really one for the big sort of wedding dresses. I mean, I think they can be beautiful on a lot of people. But I don't know. I don't think I would go for the big dress. I'd go for something much simpler. And Nancy's is definitely beautiful, but yeah, very simple and classy. And you know, it goes to show Stella's designs are beautiful and just very unique. And finally, the last a fact worth knowing is that she is actually a cancer survivor. So, you know, not only is she, you know, she's not only a survivor in a lot of things, she survived cancer, which I think is amazing on her part. And, you know, she's truly a fighter and an amazing woman and, you know, has gone through so much. And it's pretty amazing to see, you know, as I'm ending this season, I've been able to see these women in such an interesting way because we're analyzing their lives. Of course, with the Beatles, but, you know, I think as I've gotten through this first season, it's been so much more about, you know, these women's stories and how they contributed to rock and roll history in a way that is so fundamentally important. And, you know, I think it's kind of a great thing that I think a lot of podcasts now and a lot of people are starting to really recognize women's importance in, you know, rock and roll and rock and roll history. So, you know, yeah, this is going to be the last episode of season one of the She Loves You podcast. And you know, it's crazy to think that and it's crazy to say out loud. But thank you to everybody who has been listening to me and has come on this, you know, first journey. And there will be so many more seasons coming up. But, you know, this first season was really a delight because I was able to bring you the stories of the wives of these men. And, you know, I know Jane technically is not a wife, but I do consider her sort of the first generation. She was with Paul for 5 years. They were engaged. So she can be sort of a wife, okay? Let's excuse the inaccuracy. But yeah, it's been wonderful to bring you these stories. And even though I like to think I'm an expert, but let's be honest, I'm not an expert in anything, right? But I have learned a lot as well on this journey. And I've learned also really to sort of be open-minded in a lot, in the sense that I've been able to sort of not look at the bad things, but rather look at what has made this woman, you know, who she is. And that's been the best thing about this podcast. And also understanding why they affected the Beatles so profoundly, which obviously is the goal of this podcast, you know, in many ways. So that's been really nice. And, you know, this first season, I've had some amazing guests, and I'm probably going to have a couple more of, you know, more episodes with particular guests we've had on this season, just because I love talking to them. But, you know, there's going to be so many more guests as we keep going. But thank you to everybody who has, you know, chatted with me and has contributed a little bit to the discussion of the women in Beatles history, right? So thank you to everybody. I especially want to thank, you know, fellow podcasters that I've been able to chat with and communicate with and have had on the show, or I've been on their shows. You know, I really thank you for your friendship and your support, because, you know, like I always say, this is a community, and, you know, we sort of have come together in this way, come together, pun. Anyway, bad pun, but we've really been able to come, all of us together, and, you know, be this community. So I thank all of you for that, and I can't wait to chat to all of you more. And, you know, some things that we can expect next season. So since it is going to be season two, we're going to finally look at the multiple girlfriends that have come and gone in, you know, their lives. And when I say girlfriend, I don't just mean, you know, like a relationship that was like a year. It could be something that happened on the road. It can be, you know, it might have been that they just went out for a night, you know. So we're going to look at women that have dated them in the past and the present, their stories. And, you know, we might veer off and talk about other musicians that might have been in their lives as well. Just for fun, of course, but we're going to keep it Beatles-centric, like always. And yeah, we're going to dive into some all-new women, and I'm going to have some wonderful guests, which I'm really, really excited about. And yeah, it's going to be really amazing, and I cannot wait to bring the second season to you. And I won't keep you waiting for too long. I'm not going to make this be like a, okay, now I take a break for like 6 months and I see you guys till never. No, the second season will be up and running pretty soon. So expect that. I will probably post an announcement on it on the Instagram page. If you are not following me, you can follow me now at my Instagram page, at She Loves You Podcast. I post regular updates there, and I'm going to start posting a lot more polls on my stories, because I think you guys really like my fun back polls and you know, all that fun. It's just good to connect. So, you know, I'm always there if you ever want to shoot me a message, if you ever have an idea for a fun episode and maybe you want to be on the podcast. I think it would be really, really cool. So just always let me know. I'm there. And yeah, I just want to thank everyone again who has supported me, and especially to all of you listeners. Thank you. Thank you for listening. You guys make this fun to do, and I mean, just thank you. Really, truly thank you. So thank you guys so much for joining me on the final episode of the first season of the She Loves You podcast. I've had a great time, and I've loved being able to bring these women's stories to you, and I can't wait to do it for another season. So thank you guys. Thank you for listening, and have a great, amazing rest of your weeks. And I will see you in season 2 of the She Loves You podcast.